Jerry Leslie. The title of his discourse is The Eastern Gate. Brother Jerry, Lord bless.
Okay, let me just share the screen for a moment here. We'll do that. Okay, that should be up.
Yes, it is.
Well, brethren, again, we're glad to be with you. Sister Sharon and I send our love and greetings to you and glad to be with you again. If any missed our special greetings from the Portland area Bible students here, we select the text for greetings, and for October it is Psalms 86 verse 15. So we would invite you to consider that as greetings from us. Brethren, our lesson today somewhat follows Brother David's, which we are grateful for, and he had lots of food for thought and study and restudy there. And it somewhat follows the shaded area that he spoke about, and what follows as well. So our lesson begins with the times of refreshing and the times of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets. It is a story we have heard before, but it is good to be refreshed. Many understand these times began with Jesus Christ at his second advent, when he returned as Lord of the Sabbath, Matthew 12, verse 8. With that return has seen the introduction of the light bulb, the typewriter, the telephone, and now the internet. Productivity of agriculture has increased tenfold. Environmental controls are trying, and we quote trying, to purge toxins from the earth. Medicines are attacking leprosy and diseases that have plagued mankind for 6,000 years. Such things began for the earth since the return of Earth's new king. Reigning, judging, and removing the old order is also part of the grand reconstruction and restitution as considered in several Psalms, Psalms 93 through chapter 99, but yet to be finished. Then there is a second part that will wait until the blood of the sin offering to seal the new covenant and the great mediator to be completed. And again, we were reminded of David's two parts. This part will lift the curse on Adam and bring an opportunity of life for all that are in their graves. Shortly before, a dear brother died here in our area. He was studying Ezekiel 47. We had some special fellowship to consider this chapter with him. It has more details even than in Revelation 22. There were parts that were very clear and other parts that were seemed unclear, but now had become clear for him. Then there were parts that remained obscure and uninterpreted that begged our further study. It is a story beyond the prophecies when thrones and kingdoms pass away. It reaches beyond the trouble, pain, and turmoil of the few years ahead of us. It is beyond kings and cathedrals, beyond the seven last plagues, beyond Jacob's trouble. It is a new world order. And even beyond the sealing of a new covenant, though this must be first inaugurated. It reaches forward to just how the blessings will reach a hungry and thirsty world. Even it explains something of just how mankind will return up the highway of holiness. It is a vision like a dream. While it is a dream of a prophet, it is not a fanciful illusion. Ezekiel himself is called the Son of Man, a title belonging to a human agency like the church while here in the flesh. Like Ezekiel, the church of Christ witnesses the message and faithfully declares the vision. So let us read Ezekiel 47, 1 through 12. And afterward he brought me again to the door of the house, and behold, waters issued from under beneath the throne, the threshold, and the house eastward, for the forefront of the house stood east toward the east, and the waters came down from under the right side of the house at the south side of the altar. Then he brought me out of the way of the gate northward, and led me about the way without unto the outer gate, by the way which looketh eastward, and behold, there ran out waters on the right side. And when the man that had the line in his hand went forth eastward, he measured 1,000 cubits and brought me through the waters, and the waters were to the ankles. Again he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters, and the waters were to the knees. Again he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters to the loins. Afterward he measured 1,000 and the river that I could not pass over, for the waters were risen, waters to swim in, a river that could not be passed over. And he said unto me, Son of man, hast thou seen this? Then he brought me and caused me to return to the brink of the river. Now when I had returned, behold, at the bank of the river were very many trees on one side and on the other. Then said he unto me, the waters issue out toward the east country and go down toward the desert and go into the sea, which brought forth unto the sea. The waters shall be healed. And it shall come to pass that everything that liveth, that moveth, whithersoever the water shall come, shall live. And there shall be a very great multitude of fish, because the waters that shall come thither, and they shall be healed, and everything shall live whither the river goeth. And it shall come to pass that the fishers shall stand upon it from Engedi unto Eniglium. They shall be a place to spread forth their nets. Their fish shall be according to their kinds, as the fish of the great sea, exceeding many. But the miry places thereof shall, and the marshes thereof shall not be healed. They shall be given to salt. And by the river upon the bank thereof, on this side and on that side, shall grow all trees for meat, whose leaf shall not fade, neither shall the fruit thereof be consumed. It shall bring forth new fruit according to their months, because the waters they issued out the sanctuary, and the fruit thereof shall be meat, and the leaf thereof for medicine. Then follows verses 13 to 21, a kingdom view of the inherited land. Brethren, this vision does not belong to Solomon's temple, nor even to Herod's temple where Jesus preached. This kingdom is the kingdom work of restoring the human race under a new covenant. The vision has a higher message based on the prototype, but new chambers and gates. It teaches a way of healing and recovery. The vision in earlier chapters is so detailed that the temple could be an architect's plan. The graphic here is more detailed than necessary, but it can serve our purpose. You'll notice the east is on the right in this picture. So let's now dream along with our prophet Ezekiel. The chapter begins with the word afterward. He was brought to the door of the temple. After what? In Ezekiel 46:21-24, Ezekiel was last seen with a man having a measuring rod. This is the same one who gave him the dimensions of the temple from chapter 40 onward. Then he was left in the corners of the court where sacrificial offerings were being boiled before eaten. There was still sacrificing going on at the end of chapter 46. Here, east is now shown at the bottom. Ezekiel is about to be shown the meaning of Joel 3, verse 18. And it shall come to pass in that day that the mountains shall drop new wine, and the hills shall flow with milk, and all the rivers of Judah shall flow with waters, and a fountain shall come forth of the house of the Lord, and shall water the valley of Chittim. Now standing beside the door of the temple, and probably on the porch to the temple, here is the man standing with a measuring line in his hand, ready to direct and introduce the program. Ezekiel saw this servant in another vision, like one clothed in linen and a writer's inkhorn at his side, who said, "I have done as thou hast commanded me." And now waters begin to flow like a trickle out from underneath the south edge of the porch. It begins to flow eastward past the altar, even while Ezekiel remained in the court. Water begins to flow even before common people would notice it. Even if they would see something, they would not realize it is now coming from the temple itself. Some evidences of life and restitution beginning while Ezekiel is in the court. From there it flows across the court and down into the Kidron Valley. This house will be the complete church with 144,000 stones, with its singular head of the corner. These waters are not showers or a little stream, but they eventually become a geyser from waters once stored abundantly deep in the earth. Isaiah 12, verse 3, calls these wells of salvation, life-giving waters of pure and clean truth will bring human restitution to all the willing and obedient. They flow eastward towards the rising sun, but also southeasterly, as we will see later. South is the side of the earthly phase of the kingdom. This begins with the ancient worthies. Under the new covenant, they bring blessings to the south country. Zechariah 6, verse 6. And so Ezekiel leaves his sacrificial post in the court, and he is led out of the north gate. He is taken around the right side to see the waters flowing through the eastern gate. The waters flow deeper. Only when he has finished his work in the court and has left through the north. Now there stands a man beside Ezekiel with a measuring line. The man with a measuring line is also found in Ezekiel 40, verses 3 and 4. And also Zechariah 2, verse 1. This man acts as a guide and explainer for Ezekiel in the various visions. This guide, in comparison, like the Laodicean messenger, the man with the inkhorn, who explains and points the way for the Ezekiel class. He uses divine measures from the temple and waters for the instruction of the house of Israel. He instructed Ezekiel to declare all that thou seest to the house of Israel. So we are left to think about the measuring man and the four measures. This man measures the 1,000 cubits of the waters flowing eastward and brings Ezekiel wading through them. He crosses over up to his ankles, and they proceed another 1,000, and he crosses again, and the waters come to his knees, then again to his waist, and finally the river is so deep to cross he cannot do it without swimming. Mankind must learn to swim. Regarding the 1,000 measures of 4 times, I am inclined to regard this as 4 measures of 1,000 cubit sections along the shore. In other words, it measures the rising water to 4 different depths during a singular millennium measure. It is like 4 stages to measure the millennial restoration work. This 1,000 years has progressive stages for cleansing and swimming. So it is during the millennium mankind will first get their feet wet, but not expected to swim at first. They will have a new footing in truth, but will largely walk according to their old paths. But if they proceed, the water will become knee-deep, yet may still cross the current according to their own will and efforts. But with progress, the water reaches waist level, and it's harder to resist the tide. Finally, the man must use the water current alone and cannot walk according to his fallen nature. We are somewhat reminded of hymn number 224 that begins with all of self and none of thee, but proceeds to none of self and all of thee. But it will also be necessary under the mediator of the new covenant as people proceed upward, upward on the highway of holiness. Now the vision is brought back to the bank of the river to see another part of the kingdom blessing. It will be noticed that the waters issue out of the sanctuary and issue towards the east. there are a great multitude of fish and spreading of nets. Verses 7 and 12 say that on both banks of the river are many trees. These trees are like the tree of life in Eden. The fruit is good for food. The fruit never fails and produces new fruit every month. The changing fruit seems to supply the seasonal needs for nourishing the changing needs of both individuals and society as they're able to understand and assimilate principles of truth. The 144,000 fruits ripened in the gospel age will refresh a hungry world. The leaves don't wither or die. They become medicine for healing. While fruits like knowledge nourish a growing constitution, yet leaves like their antioxidants, amino acids, and omega acids, and enzymes work like corrective instruction and discipline to repair those dysfunctional hearts and minds. Jeremiah 31, verse 34. And they shall teach no more, every man his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. Now, according to verse 8, Ezekiel 47, verse 8, after noting the trees, Ezekiel is shown to where the river of life flows. It flows towards the east country and down into the east country, the desert of Judea, streams in the desert, floods on dry ground. Isaiah 35, 6 and 7, and Isaiah 44, 3. From there it flows south, into the sea. What sea? The Dead Sea, the Salt Sea east of Jerusalem. And those waters are healed with sweet, fresh water. It represents dead nations, the whole world, who have gone into death. The ninth verse tells us this is a life-giving stream. Everything it touches lives. Within its waters are a multitude of fish. Fishes are people of every kind and nation and language. And then comes verse 10, the fishing business, like fishers of men, will again revive. Men will have learned valuable lessons in the time of trouble, that gray area on the chart, and 6,000 years before, which have humbled them and made them teachable. Many will then seek after righteousness and truth, like fish seek food. Isaiah 26, 9. When thy judgments are on the earth, the inhabitants of the earth will learn righteousness. And also Isaiah 60, verse 5. Because the abundance of the sea shall be converted unto thee, the forces of the Gentiles shall come unto thee. Now, En-Gedi lies midway on the western shore of the Dead Sea, in the Judean wilderness. The name means fountain of goats, because of a spring there where wild goats refresh themselves. Iniglium lies at the very southern edge of the Dead Sea, in the wilderness of Zoar. And that name means fountain of calves and bullocks. So between the antitype of the typical sin offering of bullocks and goats, mankind will return never to have these shores seen that have never seen living fish before. But they will return and they will see. Zechariah 13:1. In that day there shall be a fountain opened to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. And Joel 3:18. And it shall come to pass in that day that the mountains shall drop down sweet wine, and the hills shall flow with milk, and all the rivers of Judah shall flow with waters, and fountains shall come forth of the house of the Lord, and shall water the valley of Chittim. When an outlet, that is a way of escape, is opened, what was the Dead Sea will become a living sea. Now an exception is introduced. A miry place in the marshes will not be healed and turn to salt. Some will refuse to be healed. Any water standing without an outlet becomes stagnant. Marshes are the stagnant waters. Those who will not progress, who will not obey that prophet. Acts 3:23. Those who will not learn righteousness. Isaiah 26:10. And so we must ask if all the kingdom blessings will change every heart. Will there be any who will not of their free will choose life and live? Will any be fully cut off from life after a full opportunity? Even if there were one or 10 or 100, it would prove that the human truly was made with a free will. The other 50 billion choosing life will be evidence of a free will to understand and choose the good. Now we turn to Jeremiah 17:5 from the English Standard Version. Cursed is the man who trusts in the Lord and makes flesh his strength, whose heart turns away from the Lord. I think I may have read that first portion wrong. Cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength. And then verse 6, he is like a shrub in the desert and shall not see any good come. He shall dwell in the parched places, in the wilderness, in uninhabited salt land. Now in verses 13 to 21, describes the borders of this land of beginning again. This boundary points to cities that are probably symbolical. And we would refer you to Brother John Megason's notes, which are quite helpful. Chapter 48 begins and again marks the borders of each tribe. Here are the conditions of human nature in various directions. The promised land of Canaan types the condition of the world of mankind. Its divisions among the 12 tribes in equal parts varying in nearness to Jerusalem. Their portion suggests among restored humanity 12 conditions or degrees of honor in the kingdom. An equally fair chance for all, even former pagan peoples and strangers, are to have the same chance as God's chosen people, the Jews, as though born to the same honored favor. We come to verses 15 and 16 to describe the borders. However, even if taken literally, they extend to a greater Israel than today. So the nations of earth, peoples, families will be received among God's people and become members of Israel. Though, as we will see, they must come to the seed of Abraham for the blessing under the new covenant. Then this greater Israel will begin to expand, not only to the prophetic borders, but also to the ends of the earth. And then we come to verses 22 and 23. From the English Standard Version, give some details for this arrangement. You shall allot it as an inheritance for yourselves and for the sojourners who reside among you and shall bear children among you. They shall be to you as native-born children in Israel. With you they shall be allotted an inheritance among the tribes of Israel. In whatever tribe the sojourner resides, there you shall assign them his inheritance, declares the Lord God. Here is an inheritance, or a reference from Leviticus 19:34. In the Messianic law for how to treat strangers, the stranger, Gentiles, must sojourn, lodge as a guest, to learn of the God of Jacob. We know from Isaiah 2 and Micah 4 that many nations shall come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths, for the law shall go forth from Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. So men will leave their exhausted and desolate agendas and go up to the source of instruction to hear the word of the Lord. For some, it could take a year to conform. Others may require 100 years or more to undo, transition, and reform on the road to life. But now something strange is said to these strangers, that these strangers may have children, and that they should be considered citizens in this new Canaan. These will be given an inheritance. They will not be regarded as immigrant dreamers, but citizens in the new world. At first I was troubled with the thought that anyone would bear children once Edom's curse is lifted and a new covenant for life is provided. But if the temple, the gates, the rivers, the fish and trees symbolize something more real and vital, perhaps bearing children also has a larger meaning. Even Apostle Paul referred his part in begetting children in a higher sense with the gospel. In 1 Corinthians 4:15, he speaks of a convert as considered like his child. In the kingdom, those naturalized Gentiles who become Israelites may bear symbolical children. These are those absorbed into Israel with the God of Israel. Each generation so properly adopted, will have the privilege of bearing former generations. There may be a couple of possible senses here, and we will suggest two possibilities. First, those whose lives are reformed will be eager to assist and reform others. And so these others will become as children of truth and light and considered citizens in the expanding borders of the earthly Canaan, the new order. This is not natural birth, but the restored and renewed life that makes men truly children of God. And then there's a second thought that may touch on the meaning of children will not be infant offspring of a living generation, but each generation may have the privilege to pray for and bring forth their own fathers and mothers and those back in their turn. This is like bearing life backward to each prior generation until Eden is reached. Those awakened from the grave will then be in reverse order, so to speak, when a generation of faith petition the divine favor for the rebirth of their parents. We have a text in Psalms 45, 16, and 17 that properly and primarily applies to the ancient worthies who had first fathered natural Israel, will become the resurrected children of the latter completed Christ and bride. These ancient worthies will be awakened to earthly life by the spiritual seed of Abraham. Yet within these few words is a principle of the first being the last and the last first. The role of fathers and children are reversed. Children can bring forth fathers. In 1914, on reprint 5531, Pastor Russell had this interesting comment. He says, during the millennium, the awakening from the sleep of death, the prison house, will come about by divine power. But we believe in an answer to prayer. Each family circle, as it can prepare for another and another member, will be glad to do so and will make request for the return. Thus, the race will come out of the prison house in reverse order, so that in which they entered, and will be acquainted with, identified by, and prepared for by their friends and their relatives. End of quote. So the meaning of these children is either one, converting the heart and lives to a new order, or secondly, by the prayer of faith for the return of a former generation. And if that's not the meaning of children, as Brother Ken Rawson used to say, it'll be even better. Now we have from Job 33, 24 to 26, then he is gracious unto them and saith, deliver him from the going down of the pit. I have found a ransom. His flesh shall become fresher than a child's, and he shall return to the days of his youth, and he shall pray to God, and he will be favorable unto him, and he will see his face with joy, and he will render unto man his righteousness. Now in Jeremiah 31:13, we find that then the virgin shall rejoice in the dance, both children, young men and old together, for I will turn their mourning into joy, and I will comfort them and make them rejoice from their sorrow. Isaiah 66:12, for thus saith the Lord, behold, I will extend peace to her like a river, and the glory of the Gentile shall be like a flowing stream. Then shall ye suck, and ye shall be borne upon her sides, and be dandled upon her knees. As one whom his mother comforteth, so I will comfort you, and ye shall be comforted in Jerusalem. Isaiah 66:14, then shall ye see this, your heart shall rejoice, and your bones shall flourish like an herb, and the hand of the Lord shall be known toward his servants, and his indignation toward his enemies. In review, we should note that kingdom waters begin to flow while Ezekiel, like the church, are still standing on the porch, overlooking the sacrifices and participating in the court before he leaves the north gate. When he leaves the court, by the northern gate, he is able to measure the increasing flood. Blessings begin to flow from the New Jerusalem through earthly Jerusalem. Humanity, who at first may only wade across ankle deep in truths, gradually become engulfed in the waters. The waters of life to earth and returning and restored humanity will be to all. The waters will offer life to all, the willing and obedient, yet none will be compelled beyond their will. If they choose not life, they will not receive it. All mankind will be invited to learn from the seed of Abraham of the way of life. As they identify with God, the God of Israel, all the world will become Israelites under the new covenant. Brethren, it's a basic story. Only those who have some idea of the grand plans of the ages can see something in Ezekiel's vision as more than a dream in the night. We want to close with one more detail. It is a story behind the lines. Something deeper to see than the general pattern. Notice that the waters flow out through the eastern gate to life, to bring life to a scorched earth. Yet there is another eastern gate that we should remember. It's found in Genesis chapter 3, verse 22 to 24. And God said, behold, the man has become like one of us to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore, the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence it was taken. So he drove out the man and placed at the east of Eden cherubim and a flaming sword, which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. Adam and Eve were put from the garden by the way of the eastern gate to a desolate land of darkness, toil, and thorns. They had disobediently eaten of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil before their constitutions could assimilate such good food and discern good and evil. They have tasted the bitter fruit for 6,000-year days of pain and labor. This permission of evil will change the human curiosity to that of awareness, to regret, and will soon turn to repentance. Then they will choose the good. In Genesis 2, verse 10, There were four rivers that flowed from Eden. Some have marked these as the four classes ultimately touched with atonement and everlasting life. And again, we would refer you to Brother John Mickelson's notes on this matter of Genesis. Only two rivers depart from the North Gate. Pishon is the first, where there is gold. Genesis 2, verse 12. Here is seen the Christ, the head, the body, in gold and glory. The second river is Gihon. It encompassed the whole land, Genesis 2, 13. Here is the great company. Only two rivers will be restored from the eastern gate for mankind, Genesis 2, 14. Only two earthly rivers will be restored from the eastern gate from the Son of Righteousness, who rises with healing in his wings, Malachi 4, 2. Only one river is said to flow directly eastward. It is Hiddekel, probably the modern Tigris. Its Hebrew name carries the thought of swift flowing. Here may be seen something of the ancient worthies and Israel by which mankind will be refreshed from the eastern gate. And then comes the final river, Euphrates, that refreshes all the world. It might be supposed, dear brethren, that these symbolical living waters were stopped with the presence of the cherubim and the flaming sword to prohibit their returning to Eden. Yet it is not forever. The divine flaming sword of Adam's death sentence will be lifted. The vision of water flowing from the temple through the eastern gate indicates the garden will again be opened to partake, for all to partake of those waters, for whosoever will may take of the waters of life freely. It will be available to all who through experiences have learned to wisely handle the knowledge of good and evil. No longer will any be permitted to practice evil. None will be prohibited from returning to the land of paradise. Restored. Revelation 22:17. And the Spirit and the Bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him partake of the water of life freely. It is for all those who enter again through the eastern gate and return to Eden. May the Lord add his blessing, dear brethren, that each may be a part of the blesser. Amen.